Guys, welcome to the Kickback FC. Thank you for joining us once again. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
Welcome to the Kickback FC, your go-to spot for unfiltered real talk, all things soccer. We're breaking down the biggest moments, hottest takes, and everything you need to know to stay tapped into the world's game. We'll even, you know, talk about it from other sports from time to time, because if it's big in sports, we've got some thoughts on it. Whether this is your first time rocking with us or you've been with us from the jump, again, I just want to say thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Again, my name is Cornelius. I am one of your co-hosts. I'm joined tonight by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Mike, how you feeling tonight? Missed you last week.
I'm feeling great. Yeah, man. It's good to be back to the pod again, joining you guys after missing last week. But I'm feeling well. Had a good weekend. Hope everyone also had a good weekend. How you doing, Gabriel?
I'm not too bad, man. Just honestly getting over kind of a long week. A little sick as well. So, yeah, no. Long week, but it's been all right. How you been, Spawn?
I've been good, man. A lot of projects here around the house keeping me busy, but all is well. I can't complain. How about you, Cornelius?
Good, man. Getting over a little bit of a cold, but it's been a good week. Can't complain. The weather's been nice in Cleveland. Had some good practices this past weekend with the kids. So honestly, we're getting back into the swing of things. Like I said, fall season, the Prem started, American football started, so it's good to just sit back during the weekends and just, you know, consume sports. But I do want to talk about the midweek games that we had last week. Champions League has begun. Champions League is back. You know, last week we kind of went down our Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, now that we have 3 days of Champions League throughout the week slates, and kind of talked about our predictions week by week or game by game, kind of what we thought was going to go on. And so I kind of just want to recap that to start. I know Mike wasn't here, but we, you know, went game by game, gave our predictions on who we thought was going to win. And so just want to tap into the biggest matches of the past week. Starting off with Arsenal. You know, Arsenal had a big campaign last year, getting to the semifinals, ultimately losing in the semis to PSG, the team that went to go take the whole thing. They started off their campaign with a 2-0 win over Bilbao at Athletic Club in Spain. How do y'all feel about that match? Is this, I'm going to pose this question to Gabriel. Is this the start you wanted to see after last year's campaign?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to play in another playoff. So if we can get a top eight spot, wherever that is, cool, clean sheet, 2-0. Happy with the result. No, nothing there, honestly, for me.
Mike Salam, any thoughts on Arsenal? How do y'all think they're going to do this year in the Champions League?
I actually think that they're going to build off of the success that they had last year. I mean, I think even to reach the semifinals was an accomplishment for this group. That's something that they've never done before. And, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit later when we talk about the game today. But I think this is the deepest team we've seen Arsenal in a while. I mean, ever since I've been watching, I think this probably is the deepest team that they've had. So I think in these cup competitions, it's important to have that depth so that you're competing on all fronts. So, yeah, I think that in the cup competitions, definitely, you know, should expect them to compete, especially in the domestic ones. Like FA Cup, Carabao, I don't know. I think a Carabao Cup, I know we kind of joke around about it, but I think for this group, like winning a Carabao Cup early in the season would be like a big confidence booster.
Yeah, I agree. I think this first game against Bilbao, they did what we all expected them to do. They did what they should have been, you know, expecting to do it anyways. I mean, Bilbao is not that much better than Arsenal. So this is a game I believe Arsenal was going to take care of, you know, business. This team is one of the contenders for Champions League, in my opinion. They're very, you know, well built this offseason to compete in the Champions League. So I think it's a good start to their campaign.
I agree. This Arsenal team, like Salam said, they're strong. They have almost two elite players in every position. So it's good for them to start the campaign this way, because I believe this is another team that'll go deep into the tournament, if not, you know, one of probably the front runners, I would say, for this tournament this year. But very, very big team. We'll keep our tabs on them, I'm sure. Another big game on that first day, Tuesday, Juve versus Dortmund. 4-4 match. Game had a lot of fireworks. I was actually able to watch a lot of this match. It was crazy because when Dortmund went up 4-2, I actually turned it off to, you know, some of the other games. I was watching Madrid, even watching a little bit of the Tottenham match. And then, you know, kind of out of nowhere, you just saw 4-3 and then 4-4. You know, Juve was able to fight back. Very, very unfortunate for Dortmund. You know, that's a team that we always see go deep into the tournament, usually a team that goes into the knockout rounds. But I feel like they just took their foot off the gas. Do we see Dortmund going far? Do we think this Juve team has what it takes to get into the knockout stages this time around? Or, you know, what do we think about these two Italian and German heavyweights?
I don't know if Dortmund goes. I think they'll get to a playoff spot, and then whoever they draw in that playoff, you know, knockout round. If you make it after between like ninth and I forgot what place.
24.
I can see them. Yeah, I can see them having that, and you know, depending on their draw, maybe getting through. But I don't think they're going to be in the top eight. I personally don't even know if this Juve team is going to be in the top eight either. After this match, I mean, I'm not saying it's all over. I mean, obviously, it's just the first match, but I don't know. I don't know if Dortmund's that good. Personally, I don't think they're that good. So the fact that Juve kind of blew it. I don't know. Interesting. Very interesting. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, high-scoring game, which actually surprised me. I was actually surprised of how, you know, how many goals were scored. But I want to ask you guys this. Is this the most, you know, underwhelming Juve team we've seen in recent years? Because if you look at their lineup and you look at the team that was on the field, I mean, I wasn't really surprised it was 4-4 because there weren't anybody on the field on the Juve side, you know, that I could look at and be like, wow, these guys from this team can play on some of these past Juve teams in recent years. But I think it's a very underwhelming team, and that's why Dortmund was able to take advantage of, you know, the situation and scoring 4 goals. I mean, Dortmund is not a team that I see going very far in this competition, but I didn't also think Juve was that, you know, built to, you know, defeat a Dortmund team. So it was kind of a fair result, in my opinion, but I didn't expect it to be 4-4.
Yeah, I think that this is a clear indicator on just kind of where both teams are at. I think, like Mike said, this is probably one of the most, and I actually had this thought when I saw the lineup, like, wow, there's really not anybody on this team where I'm like,
yeah,
you know, but you're going to, I mean, they got good players, don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. definitely not of the traditional Juve we're used to seeing. And for Dortmund, man, I think that, like, we're going to see a lot of flashes like this, a lot of hot starts, but I don't know, man. Too shaky. And we see that in the league as well, too. You know, very hot and cold. So for the tournament, no. I think for this tournament, no. I think they would definitely have a better shot in Europa League for sure. Certainly Juve, I think. But not for Champions League.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of the youngest Juve teams we've seen in a while. I mean, if you look at the core of their team, they're all around 25, 26, 27. They have the young Taram Yildiz, who's only 20. Openda, who just got to the team, he's 25. Jonathan David's 25. So when you look at the core of their team, they're all around that 24, 25, 26 age. And they got a new manager. So this is a new era for Juve. It was good to see Vlahovic come off the bench, 2 goals and an assist. So, you know, even though he's kind of been out of the spotlight, he's still able to add a lot for Dortmund, whether he's a sub or a starter. So I think they're going to be an interesting team to watch. Clearly, they can score goals. You know, that's not an issue for them. It's going to be on the defensive side. So we'll see what happens with them, you know, throughout this tournament. But also on Tuesday, we had a big slate here, Real Madrid versus Marseille. Shout out Timothy Weah, American-born Liberian, but got his first goal for Marseille in the Champions League. Unfortunately, was in a loss, a very controversial loss. You know, two goals for Mbappe, both penalties. One penalty shot had a very, very – one of those penalties should not have happened. Let's just go ahead and just get that out on the front. I think it was a bad call by the referees. It was clearly not a foul, in my opinion. Ball was taken clearly, fairly in the box, and there was some contact afterwards, but I didn't think it was enough to call a penalty. I didn't even think it was enough for a foul. But, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Madrid, again, making that call to whoever they have to make sure that they don't start their Champions League campaign with a loss. But 2-1 with Madrid. They also got a red card with Dani Carvajal, so he'll be out for a few games moving forward. What do we think about Madrid this year, man? This wasn't the best showing for them, but they still got the win.
I think what Barca did last season is actually helping Real Madrid this season. Because after, you know, Barca pretty much wiped the table with, in terms of like competition, trophies, compared to Madrid last season, I feel like everybody now is kind of looking at Madrid like, you guys are not as strong as we think. I mean, still a very, very talented team. New manager in, what's his name? Xabi Alonso. Yeah. So I think, you know, the team is still coming together. But what Mbappe is doing for them, it's just really under the radar, and it's kind of surprising. I mean, he's been banging goals all season so far, pretty much in every game for Real Madrid. But I think this team is going to be one of those teams that, oh, we finally start to notice again, you know, in the next coming weeks because of how well they'll be playing. But I think Madrid are right where they need to be. The pressure is not on them as much. As it's been in the past, you know, recent years. So they'll get a chance to kind of build into their own. But I think they'll be right there this season. Competing again with all the top teams.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're undefeated in La Liga this year. They haven't lost a match. 10 goals for. I mean, yeah, this Madrid team, I feel like this is what we expect them to do, even though they had a down year last year. I feel like this is what we expect them to do, so we don't talk about it as much. Yeah. But, I mean, this is still Madrid, bro. So,
yeah, I agree. Again, they're going to be one of the teams that you have to get past if you want to win the Champions League. Like we always say, this is their tournament. But I don't know. I just feel like what Mike said is kind of true. This Madrid team isn't the formidable Madrid that we've seen in years past, whether it's the league or in Champions League. So, you know, just to see that the way Marseille played them was straight up, and they were able to almost get a result. So I feel like if some of these stronger teams are able to play Madrid like this, they're not going to see as easy as a path to, you know, the knockout stages as they did last year. But we got to talk about Spurs, man. Spurs are back in the Champions League. They're kind of running under this Thomas Frank managerial appointment, man. They look good right now. You know, we talked about them last week. Mike, I want to start with you because you weren't here. How far do you think Spurs can go in this Champions League? You're on mute.
I think they can move on to the knockout stages. What Thomas Frank has done so far with the Spurs this season, I think we need to give him some credit. We've all wondered how good of a manager he is, and I think he's showing it. Spurs in the Prem and even now in the Champions League. You could tell this is a different team. The talent is there. I mean, when you get Xavi Simons and Mohamed Kudus and you put all these guys together, yeah, they have enough talent for them to compete. So I think they make it to the knockout stages, but do I see them going past quarterfinals, semifinals? Because of their history, I'll say no. But with the talent they have, I wouldn't be surprised, man. It's possible. It's possible for them to, you know, push quarterfinals, maybe semifinals. But, you know, I think where they are this season so far, they're on the right path. Just keep doing what you're doing. I think Thomas Frank is taking care of business. It's a good hire. And it might actually be a start of something. I don't know, man. This team is stacked. Spurs is really stacked. So there's a chance they make it far. But I'll say quarterfinals. I would say quarterfinals. Hmm. I don't see them going any farther than that.
Any objections from Salam or G?
I don't think so. I think they're losing the playoff spots, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just it really is going to come down to health. I don't think that they're as deep as that we were talking about Arsenal before. I don't think they're as deep as Arsenal. I still think a God forbid an injury to Christian Romero or Van de Ven.
Again, because
he's kind of
with them.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's like they have better options. So, like, if Danzo were to come in, that's a better option. But it's like, I don't know. And I don't know. I'm curious to see if this, like, offensive output, if they can sustain this. They're scoring at, like a high rate. I don't know if they're going to be able to sustain that. But defensively, they're solid, though. So maybe they won't need to score that many goals. But as far as playoffs and, like, the knockout rounds, I'm going to say no.
Wow. Okay.
I see them going to a playoff. Those playoff spots dip so far, bro. Like, they can get to a playoff. But one of the top eight, no. If they – in the playoff, I can see them getting snuck. But, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
They're going to be back in Europa League.
All right. So, moving on to our second day round run, we had some big matches up here, too. So, I want to start off with – Inter, obviously, they were in the championship finals last year against PSG. Started off with a brace from Marcus Thuram, 2-0 against Ajax away from home. How does this Inter team fare to you guys? Do you think they look stronger than last year, look about the same, look weaker than last year? And can they make it to the finals again?
I think it's going to be the same story with Inter. They're going to be a competitive team. I think that they're going to have a solid run in the group stage. They'll have a solid run in the knockout rounds as well, too, and play amazing football. But I don't know. Semifinal, final. I wouldn't be surprising if them fall short again. This is a really good team, and it's a shame. Kind of when you look at this Inter team over the course of, I would say, 5 to 6 years, like the moments and how they've come up short. A lot of late game leads given up, but you know they ended up losing in the final as well against Man City. They've come close, but this is a good team. We've seen that before. I think it's just a matter of they're just extremely unlucky. Them and Atletico Madrid, I feel like, are some of the two of the most unluckiest teams in the Champions League.
I agree.
Can't argue with that. The English champions, Liverpool, got one of those historic late night winners. Van Dijk with a 92nd minute header to win the game 3-2 against Atletico Madrid. Speaking about unlucky, Salam, this Liverpool team seems to have all the luck on their side this year. You know, how do we feel about them? You know, I feel like last year they felt a little bit short in the Champions League. Salah was getting some Ballon d'Or shouts until they kind of crash and burn in the knockout stages. So how do you feel about this Liverpool team, you know, trying to go again this year and potentially maybe do a double?
Treble.
I'm just saying double to start.
They could do a domestic treble.
Because think about it, Liverpool was first in the league, in the Premier League last year, and they were first in the Champions League out of the, you know, once the, right. the first eight games were done. So this is a team that it's not foreign to them to be in first place leading the pack through the end of the group stages. So I just want to know, how do we feel, or the league play, I should say. So how do we feel about this Liverpool team again trying to do the darn thing?
Hey, all I got to say is what we're like 7 matches in total of the season. Most of our teams, if you're in Europe, this luck will not continue through the 50 matches plus that they will play this year. I'm sorry that I just don't listen. They're playing great. They're happening to find these ways to win at the end of matches, and great for them. no knock, no disrespect. I just personally think that their luck of these 92nd to 98th minute goals will run out at some point. At some point, I think they'll dry up. That's just me. That's just Gabriel. But congrats to them for their win.
Yeah, I think Jota is looking down on them.
He is. He is 100%.
It might show up in big moments, man. I mean, they've already had a couple of these so far this season. I think Liverpool more is just that good, man.
They've had more than a couple.
Yeah, I think they're legit, man. I really do think they're legit. They are contenders also to win the Champions League. How they pulled out the win, yeah, man. It's getting almost ridiculous, but I think they have a special guy up there looking down on them. So that could be what we're seeing so far on this front end of the season. But
and bro,
they're still really a good team. That's the thing. They're really that good to pull some shit off like that, though.
They are, but
yeah,
bro. Some of the way that they've won these last second games too.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, like the stupid handball in the box. Like, just you know, just little things where I'm just like, bro. Some point, someone's arms just won't be there. You know, like it's. But we'll see. You know,
we'll see. I mean, to Mike's point though, like if there's any team that could ride this like emotional high, it's them, man. Right. It's definitely. I don't know, man. I hate to say it just because it's Liverpool, but I don't know.
They look like that again.
They look like
they look like that
on all fronts, bro. And bro, it's like I know, like we joke about it, but it's like Florian Wirtz. You're not even like
he's not even a big part of it.
Yeah, you're not.
Bro, even he was benched.
Yeah, but like but that speaks to their team though. Like you could have him and Isak were just joking on the sideline, and I'm like, Isak's not even, bro. We're talking about Isak as like Ekitike, like bro, you're just scoring for fun, and like you don't really look like you're slowing down anytime soon. So I don't know, man. It's I know we talked about Virgil a few weeks ago, but I mean, throw that out the window.
Who's talking about Virgil?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was, and that's what I was trying to say, because Mike was like, he looks a step slow, or maybe it was Usulam, he looks a step slow, and I'm like, look, this is essentially a whole new back line besides Konate, and even Konate, the first couple of weeks was, it seemed like he was a little drunk, you know. So for me, I never doubted Virgil. It was, you know, you got Kirkez on the outside, now you have, you know, Frimpong on the outside, or maybe you switch up. Now we're playing Szoboszlai back here. So for me, it was always, how are they going to figure out what they want to do with this back line? But Virgil is Virgil. He's going to be Virg for the duration of the season. So once he, you know, and he showed it this Champions League, he can defend, and then he can also go and get the game-winning goal. So I don't know, man. This Liverpool team, they look like they want to go do it again. And the way Arne Slot looks, I feel like he let the team down in the Champions League, and he wants to make sure that they go for it again this year, because they've gotten the league. I feel like the Champions League now is theirs for the taking in their locker room mindset. So we'll watch out for them. But another team that feels like the Champions League is right for the taking, since it's clearly already theirs, is PSG. 4-0 win to start their campaign against Atalanta. This Atalanta team is not the Atalanta team of the past that we've seen go far in these European tournaments. But this PSG team looks like they're in cruise control. How do y'all feel about them?
You said the best cruise control for right now.
Yeah, they haven't lost anybody. But I think, like, if anything, I think that they'll be better than they were last year. I think that they've seen that, like, they bought in to, like, Luis Enrique. We already knew he was a top manager, but I think that they just all seem bought in, man. I don't know. I can't help but think about that video of him, you know, talking to Mbappe, talking about Jordan, and like how you need to buy in and kind of be like the head of the press, you know, kind of like how Dembele was last year. Dembele looked like a sprinter on the 18-yard box, like when the keeper had the ball, and like that's the best player on the team, and I think. Yeah, man, I think you got to give him credit And the team just looked bought in. And like y'all said, bro, cruise control. I mean, the league, I think, like, I don't know. The league is, I think Due is going to be out for a while too. But I mean, this is a team that it's more like we'll check back in with you in December. And you know, we'll see where you're at from there. But definitely in the mix.
For sure. Can they go back to back? Are they good enough to go back to back?
I think they could. It certainly could. Yeah. If there was any, I was thinking that before I started speaking. I said, I mean, there's a lot of good teams out there. There's Liverpool's out there, Arsenal's out there. I mean, this may, I don't want to go too far, but like, I think that the team that's going to win the Champions League this year could be an English team. I just have a strong feeling about that. Maybe because there's more contenders on the English side, but bro, PSG, they've done it. They've done it. They beat the best. So like, I don't see why not. And they haven't lost anybody.
Okay. Yeah, that PSG team is strong, man. Definitely a team to watch out for. But as we move to our last day of games, it's actually nice to have 3 days in a row, that Thursday slate of Champions League games. I do want to start with Leverkusen versus Copenhagen. We kind of last week, Salam and I were on one side. Gabriel was on the Copenhagen side. Grimaldo, I just want to shout him out just really quickly. One of the players that did not get picked apart from that Leverkusen team, and one of the players that I really thought that had the quality to go play anywhere in the world. He's just doing it, man. Free kicks galore. You know, he has, I believe, 3 or 4 free kicks already in the season, been between Europe and the league. He's keeping this team afloat. Ten Hag is no longer there, but this Leverkusen team, do we think that they'll make it through this this league play into the knockout rounds at all? Or is their team kind of just depleted after all the transfers this past summer?
New manager bounce, man.
This is a Europa League team.
Yeah.
This is a Europa League team.
I think I agree with Salam.
You shouldn't have sacked my manager either.
No, I think the little boost we're seeing is, you know, the new manager bounce effect. I think that's what's happening. Because really, if you look at this team, are they really that deep? Are they really that, you know, constructed to compete with these teams in the Champions League? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you there. Moving on to Man City versus Napoli. Kevin De Bruyne, welcome back to the Etihad. I was actually surprised to see him get the start. I know he didn't play too long, but Haaland and Doku with the 2 goals for City. I know, Salam, you just said that you thought that it may go to an English team this year. Do you think that City has what it takes to go far in this Champions League campaign?
Do they have what it takes? Yeah. I mean, they have Pep Guardiola. They have a lot of X factors on their team, for sure. Haaland. So, yeah, certainly. I think that they're definitely in the mix. I think it's going to come down to matchups. I mean, we've talked – this is match day 5 in the Premier League. We've talked about how this City team is not the same City team that we once feared, but still is a good side. I think that the game today really emphasized that as well too, but maybe we could talk about that later, but no, definitely. I see them getting out of their group and into the next round, so I don't see why not. At that point, it's just about matched up, who you get matched up with, and I don't know. I mean, this City team looks better than Juve. The City team looks better than Bayern Leverkusen or Dortmund, or don't let them catch one of them teams. It's going to get kind of tricky when you get matched up with the Liverpool or Arsenal or even a Chelsea. You know, like, you don't. If I was an English team in the Champions League, I would want to see like y'all last. Like I would not want to see any English team like before we get to the quarterfinals, semifinals. So yeah, they're in the mix.
I would agree. So we also saw another another team that isn't always so fond of the Champions League back where they, used to find some glory. Newcastle United against Barcelona, Newcastle at home, bringing that feeling back. But unfortunately, our boy who used to play in England said, no, Lamine Yamal, no problem. I'll go ahead and get a brace by myself. Just want to say shout out to Marcus Rashford, man. I know he's had a lot of ups and downs these last few years. He's found a new home in Barcelona on loan, and he's hitting the ground running, man. Just wanted to say shout out to him. I know that he's had a lot of haters. He's had a lot of doubters, a lot of people even now who don't think that he's fit for this Barca team, but he's gone. He's put his head down. He's just worked, and 2-1 against Newcastle. Gabriel, how do you feel about this Barcelona team, and do you think that Marcus Rashford is now solidifying his place back on this in this Barca roster, I should say?
Great performance by him. I think Barcelona will be a team that we have to watch out for the Champions League. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to put too much into the performance because I've seen him not perform as well in a Barcelona shirt. So, as of, like, in recent performances. But I'm always happy for Marcus Rashford. I hope this kickstarts his form and he's able to get more form in La Liga. But, you know, I mean, he had two great goals. I was happy for him and happy for Barca, and I'm sure this is a team we'll see probably make a run in Champions League.
How do you feel about your loanee, Mr. Andalou?
I was happy. I was happy. In all seriousness, like I like the player. I support him as a player. I really rock with what he stands for on and off the field. What he represents for us, just as being like as an academy graduate, I'm proud of that for sure. And I was proud to see what he did at Barcelona. Obviously, it sucks that it didn't work out with us for many different reasons. But hopefully he can kick on like Gabriel said. And, you know, Thomas Tuchel was at the game. So I think that, another great opportunity to showcase why you should be in that conversation to go to the World Cup next summer. And he's already given you an opportunity, and, you know, you've played well there. You're in a better situation with Barcelona. You're in a better team. And they don't really need you to kind of really be, like, the guy. They just need you to contribute and kind of, you know, bring what it is that you bring to the table. So as long as he's able to keep that up, I think he'll be fine. And he can have a good second half to his career, whatever that may look like. But I'm happy for him.
No, good talk. I feel like this is gonna be very, very good for Rashford. Like I said, Lamal he's been out for the last few games, so he's, you know, earning his spot. And I think that Hansi Flick sees something in him, which is good, because whenever you're on a new team, you always hope that the manager can find favor in you, kind of see where your strengths are and kind of play to those. So I feel like Hansi Flick's doing a good job right now of just playing to Marcus's strengths and allowing him to just play as freely as he can. So just want to say shout out to Rashford. I know some of y'all out there are saying, why ain't y'all talk about Chelsea? Chelsea played on Wednesday. Yeah, we're not ducking. We not ducking. No smoke. Mike wasn't on last week, but last week I saw this Bayern Munich team as our first real challenge to see if we are a team that is as strong as we thought we were. You know, we won the Club World Cup. A lot of Chelsea fans were saying, you know, best club in the world. I was echoing that in jest because I obviously did not believe that we were the best club in the world. But I'm saying with my chest, I still feel like this Chelsea team, when you look at our roster, when you look at who we have on our team, we have the potential to be the best team in the world. We have the potential to play.
That's not what you said, though. That's not what you said, though.
I said we have the potential to be a top 2-3 team in the world.
You said we are.
I mean, look. I still feel like we're a top team in England. We're a top team in England. You know, I was probably talking with my chest a little bit. But, no, this Chelsea team, if I had to talk about this Bayern Munich match, and I'll let Mike speak more on it since he wasn't here last week. But this was a classic boys against men. Just a classic boys against men. When you look at the match, Bayern didn't play their best match against us. You know, they scored the own goal to start off the scoring from Chalobah in the 20th minute. Cole Palmer was able to tie back up. Unfortunately, the second goal was offsides from Cole Palmer. He was sitting on a brace almost. But You look at the penalty that Fofana gave away. It's just a bad foul. You look at the third goal. That's us not being able to clear the ball in the back, which, again, we'll talk about when we talk about – or I will talk about – I'll speak on when we talk about, you know, the Premier League match this week against Manchester United. But this was just a typical boys against men, you know. Shout out to Munich. They were at home. They had the momentum. They took their chances. They scored. They took advantage of us when we made mistakes, and they scored. Chelsea had our opportunities to go and score. Like I said, Cole Palmer scored once. He was slightly offside for his second goal, which got called back. That could have been a 2-2 match. It could have been a 3-2 match the other way if we finished some of our chances. So, you know, for me, it's one of those matches where I have to look and say, we lost. 100% we lost. We didn't play well at all either. If we can just tighten up a few of the things in the back, if we can tighten up, you know, staying on sides and taking more opportunity of our chances, this match goes the other way, or it's a 2-2 draw. So it's tough to look at this because I don't think 3-1 tells the exact story of the match, but we also have to look at it and ultimately say this was on us. You know, we could have had a better match, but we ultimately are the reasons for our own downfall. So it's frustrating to look at a match like that because I truly thought that we could have gotten a result. Straight up today, I think if we replay that match and things go the other way, maybe if we don't have that penalty, the match is a little bit different in the second half. But, you know, we got to grow. We got to learn from these type of games and then understand that this is what it takes if you want to win in this level. This Champions League is not Europa League and it's definitely not the Conference League. We're not going to be able to run over teams 5-6-7-0 as we did once, you know, last year in Europe. So for me, it's just, all right, boys, this was our wake-up call. We got smacked up. The rest of the Champions League isn't going to be hard. We see Napoli. We see Barcelona. We see some of these teams that are very, very well positioned in their league and in European standings as well. So if we want to go and say that we're a top club, if we want to go and, you know, potentially move on to the knockout stages of this round, we have to tighten up defensively and we have to be a little bit mature in these type matches. But Mike, as far as your take from the match, how did you feel that Chelsea played?
I mean, everything you just said, I agree with majority of everything you just said. For me, I think, excuse me, I hate moral wins, right? I hate moral wins, but I felt like there was a lot of positives we could walk away from this loss. And what do I mean by that? All three of Bayern's goals pretty much came from us. It was from what we did. It was from our mistakes. So like you said, this is a game that I think we could have gotten a result out of. But because of mistakes that were made, you know, game went another way. You know, we like to look at these players sometimes. You know, they're professionals. We have high expectations for them to perform because of the, you know, badge they're wearing. I mean, that's the club you're at. This is the expectation. Win every game. Usually it's not going to go like that all the time. I'm saying that to say this. We had a lot of debutants, you know, playing for the first time in the Champions League. I think I can easily say the moment was big for some of our players. It was just too big for some of our players, like Vincent Bayern, to come back in the Champions League. Majority of these guys haven't even played in this competition. And then your first game is at Bayern at the Allianz Stadium. I mean, I think sometimes we just have to keep it real, man. These guys are humans too, man. I mean, Malo Gusto's mistake. I mean, clearly, he looked nervous. He looked nervous. I mean, some of the guys just looked like, yes, I'm happy to be here, but I don't want to mess up, you know? And I think that's what happened. I just think that, you know, the nerves were going. Some of the guys were just, the moments was just too big. And with that being said, you could look at Bayern and how they played, and you could, apart from Olise, nobody was really threatening us. Like, to be honest, I mean, Kane is going to be Kane. Let's give it to him. Kane is going to be Kane. But Olise was the most threatening Bayern player. I mean, so if you take him out of the equation, yeah, I mean, I think we did all right. But the mistakes that we made is what, you know, cost us the game. So, you know, with lack of experience for most of our guys in this competition, I think that's what it came down to. You know, like you said, it showed clearly, you know, experience and, you know, no experience. We just didn't have the experience for Bayern in a game like that. And that's, I think, what cost us the game.
Yeah, I feel like this team, like I said, it was a good wake-up call to see where we really stack up. I feel like it was good that we saw a team like Bayern and not one of those teams that was, you know, a little bit lower that, you know, in their European pedigree, because this really goes to show, okay, we got punched in the mouth. You're like, this isn't going to be an easy competition. We're going to go away. And Bayern has, I mean, Bayern is Bayern. We know who Bayern is. But some of these teams are going to go in a hostile territory. We haven't seen some of these teams. How are you going to fare there? And I feel like this is a very good test to kind of get us acclimated into Champions League play. Mm-hmm. You know, just keeping it on Chelsea, as tradition goes, losers go first. So switching gears into the Premier League, you know, we had a pretty rough week. 0 out of 6 points.
Yeah, man.
Traveled to Old Trafford, potentially to keep us in the top four. And unfortunately, things didn't go our way. Shout out Robert Sanchez. Ruined the match 5 minutes in. I'm so happy I go ahead and two more times.
Oh my goodness.
Robert Sanchez. Full Undertaker.
Yeah, man.
Jeez, bro.
Ooh.
It's frustrating, dog. Like, I don't know what else to say.
I know, right?
Like Salam said last week, whenever Chelsea sees United, form goes out the window. Everything goes out the window, especially when we're at Old Trafford. It just seems like,
yeah, man.
Since I was a kid, man, since 2003, when I started watching Chelsea Football Club, it's just always been, man, forget Manchester
United. Weird one.
It's just always a weird matchup, whether it's a 4-4 match or a 4-3 match or a 2-0 where there's two red cards, one in the fifth minute, one in the end of the second half. There's always fireworks. So something always seems to happen that's crazy. But unfortunately, we didn't get the win. I don't really know how to speak about this match, because like I alluded to earlier, again, both of these goals came from mistakes in the back, us not being able to clear the ball out of our own box. And, you know, I've always said this, Chelsea were liable to get scored on in the last 5 minutes of the half because we, for whatever reason, we just seem to turn off. But recently, it seems that we've been having issues just clearing the ball out of our box. I mean, if you look at this entire week, 3 out of the 5 goals that were scored on us were because we couldn't clear the ball. We had chances, we popped the ball out or we whiffed the ball and it stays in our attacking third and we just can't recover. And so that's something that Maresca just needs to be aware of, because clearly we have deficiencies in the back. Before the season even started, Mike talked about we need to get a goalkeeper. Eventually, we didn't do that. And then Levi Colwill went down. We said we need to get another center back. We didn't do that. So now we have the team that we have, you know, and we have to be able to just recognize that. But also we have to be better in the back.
Yeah,
clearly just have to be better in the back. It's frustrating when two of the goals that could have been avoided were on us, but you have to look at those and just say, all right, how do we get better for next week? I don't know how you feel about it, Mike, but I feel like this game, we could have potentially gotten a result here too, you know, even though we were down a man for most of the first half, even though we went down 2 goals. I feel like this game was right there for the taking, even though Cole Palmer went out, still feel like we had chances to score. But again, just not being clinical, not being able to capitalize on our chances. It was a tough week, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, Robert Sanchez, man. You know, you have a performance like that against Bayern, and then you do what you did against United. I mean, I don't know, man. Sometimes I just don't know. Like, I always joke and, you know, say that his mistakes look like they're on purpose. I mean, look at how late that challenge on Mbomo was. I mean, come on, man. Like, he knew he was not, you're not going to get there. You saw him take a touch and then went ahead and stretched your legs after he's taken the touch. I mean, like, come on, man. At least give it a time to see if you can get there or not. But it is what it is. You know, even though I feel like that ruined the game, I still felt like there was a lot of game to be played. I think Gabriel said it in the group chat. I did not like the substitutions at all. I knew he had to make adjustments. But the substitutions were just too, what's the word I'm looking for? I felt like he was almost throwing in the towel with the substitutions.
But I didn't know Cole Palmer got injured at first. I didn't know.
He made those substitutions way before that.
Yeah, the two though. I thought he was just gonna make one. I didn't know he was gonna go so defensive. But I agree. I didn't know he was gonna go so defensive so early.
Yeah,
it was unfortunate that Cole Palmer had to come off, but the second D mid, I was kind of like, huh?
The Neto one I didn't understand, but it is what it is. But like you said, man, I mean, throughout the week, you know, social media, everybody was promoting this game. Oh, Chelsea smashing United. And I'm like, have we not been watching Chelsea United at Old Trafford for like the last decade? It's either a draw or Chelsea loses. We have not won there in over a decade. So I wasn't confident going into this game. It's always some bullshit when it's United. It's always something. So I knew right when they said, I'm like, yep. It's another one. Let's just get it over with and leave, you know? But this just, I don't even know what to take from this performance because it was just so uneven, so early that, you know, it wasn't even like, you can't really analyze the game for what it was. And, you know, it was a rainy game, you know, the field was a little soggy as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors, but it's just Chelsea United, man. Chelsea United. We just can't shake United at all. And I think as Chelsea fans, I think we have to at least accept that reality and hope to, you know, moving forward, like something changes because this doesn't make sense. It just doesn't.
You're saying my field was damp?
Hey, that's what it was. I was seen on camera.
What do you say? Oh man! Now I told you guys. I've been telling Mike this since 2013. Form goes out the window. I've seen United beat a Chelsea side with Antonio Conte, Cesc Fabregas, Diego Costa, and we had nothing. I've seen it all. No, but I mean, shout out to Grimsby. They said when we played them. They said, "We wish we played you every week. We wish we played you every week. We wish we played you every week." But I mean, like, you know, shout out to Ruben Amorim. Another week goes by. You know what I'm saying? Here we are. But in all seriousness, I think this was a good win for him. This was a good win for the club, the team. I think. A big morale booster for them. Obviously, the game changed when, you know, the red card happened and Robert Sanchez did what he did. But, you know, as soon as Casemiro got sent off and it was 10 men versus 10 men, like, it went back to what we've been seeing. And it's like, here's another team at home that's like out, you know, just kind of outworking us at Old Trafford. And it's frustrating to see, man, because, you know, in any other situation, you would look at this and be like, you know, a good win versus a good Chelsea side at home. We should be going up against next week Brentford with a boatload of confidence. But at the end of the day, man, I think if certain aspects of the team don't change, I think we're going to continuously see a struggle. Yes, I know we won, and, you know, we got in six. This is the first time that I think in I don't know how many years we've gotten two wins consecutively in the Premier League. But I don't know, man. I think this is the first.
Yeah. Two in a row?
Jeez. Two in a row. Yeah, crazy stat. Yeah, they haven't won at home. Like, back-to-back games. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, I think the circumstances, you know, of what Sanchez did, I think that obviously played a big part in, you know, us winning the game. And, you know, but at the end of the day, man, I got to see certain changes from the manager in terms of, just like the setup, bro. I still don't understand. We play once a week. How is a guy like, I don't know. We won the game, so I guess it's hard to even question, like, you can't question him. He got the three points. And here I am out of a win trying to nitpick, but it's like, why is Lenny Euro not starting? Like, why did we just buy this keeper for 25 and whatever mil? Why is Bayern Deer starting still? Like, come on. Like, why is it that you're scrambling for all these center mids? Kobbie Mainoo can't even, like, sniff the pitch. Well, how?
Let's talk about it.
Like, how, bro? How? Like, Mason Mount. Bro, it's crazy. Mason Mount was out injured, came back. I'm like, well, first off the bench. I'm like, man, there has to be something. You know, maybe this is why they say, oh, you guys as fans, this is why you guys are fans. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm not seeing something that Mason Mount is doing something. And in training, I don't know. In training, he must be like, bro, we don't see it. We don't see it. But, like, I don't know. And I hate to, like, nitpick on him. Because, again, like, we won the game, you know, all positivity. But, like, we're going to go up against Brentford next week and struggle. And it's not going to be a surprise to anybody because we keep getting outmanned in midfield. Like, it's not like rocket science, bro. And I don't know. Guys like, you know, Cunha and I guess Mount coming back is, you know, obviously a big boost to the team. Shout out to Benjamin Sesko for getting the flick on, to getting Mbeumo in. And then that led to Robert Sanchez, you know, doing whatever that was. But yeah, I told you guys, though, like, the Chelsea guys, I said, like, I know Mike was talking about, like, you know, we could really challenge for the title. And to be very honest with you guys, I don't think that you're that far, but you should have addressed this back line this year. You should have gotten the key. Everyone kind of got, for the most part, what they needed. We got what we needed, what we thought we needed. But, like, you guys clearly needed a keeper. You needed a solid center back. You could argue two. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't have seen Colwell being out for a while, and then Fofana, I feel like, is always just kind of in and out. Hopefully he can stay healthy. But ultimately, your guys' back line is going to be your biggest Achilles heel.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you because, I mean, we weren't expecting, you know, Levi Colwell to go down. You know, it looks like we he's found a partnership in Chalobah and Colwell. So I don't think he thought, you know, something like that was going to happen. So what's the backup plan? Tosin can't keep his legs closed, dog. I'm sorry.
Shut up. I'm
sorry, bro. But, like, these cutbacks, bro, it's almost like these cutbacks, if you're going against Tosin, you're going through his legs. I mean, it's – I like Tosin, but he ain't it. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you this, though. In all seriousness, what do you think of – we talked about this in the group chat, but what do you guys think about Reece James in the midfield?
I hate it. I mean, y'all know me. I like my defenders to defend. This whole play him in the midfield, have him invert. Even him starting off as a right back and inverting is way better than him starting off in the midfield for me. Because unlike Trent, Alexander-Arnold, Reece is a right back. Like, Reece is like a defender at heart. Mm-hmm. Yes, he can play in the midfield. Yes, he can invert. Yes, he has the IQ to play in multiple positions on the pitch. But naturally, he's a defender, and I feel like he's most comfortable when he starts off in that right-back position. And if he has to invert and move into the middle when we have the ball, and if he has to, you know, be more offensive-minded once we have the ball, that's okay. But I think he feels the most comfortable. And this is just me watching him. You know, he could feel totally differently, but based off what I've seen, I think Reece is the most comfortable when he is in that right back position and he's allowed to have freedom on that right side. I think when you put him in the midfield, he gets caught sometimes, and it's not my favorite. I don't know how Mike feels about it, but I've never been a fan.
Nah, you hit the nail right on top of the head. I mean, some of the crosses he was putting in against United, man, vintage Reece James. I see why he wants to play him in the midfield. You could tell that, you know, the legs are not there anymore. I mean, Salam texted
it. Hey, you remember? Shout out to my brother.
I was like, oh, man.
I love Reece James. I do. But that was
those legs are gone. That was a tough one to see. You could clearly tell his legs are gone. So going up and down the sideline, I can't see Reece James doing that, you know, week in and week out. But I agree with you. he's a legit right back. Like he's not Trent that could possibly just play in the midfield. Yeah, he gets the job done when Maresca puts him there, but I personally don't like it. But I also know that he can't do what Reece James used to do. He can't be running up and down on the side. I just know that. But seeing what he did, you know, in the last few minutes of the game, and you know, when the game changed, where he was playing, kind of took us back, you know, to old Reece James, you know, crossing, giving us those beautiful crosses into the box. And I think playing him in the midfield takes away from that. So that is the main reason I don't like that. But I know that he doesn't have the legs, so I'm indifferent about it. But if it was up to me, I would like him a right back.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like most Chelsea fans would tell you that, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. But Salam, I have a question for you because we have to talk about it, man. What's going on with your boy? What's going on with your boy, Sesko, man? What's going on with him? I mean, I don't know. It's
Flapiana.
No, I'm not gonna sit here and call it a flop. It's very, very early. Flapiana, you know. That's crazy. Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. But you know, we're what, 5 matches into the Prem? Mm-hmm. You've had what was that Carabao Cup game? What's going on with you? It's not even concerning to me because he hasn't scored, but it's like I haven't even really seen him either. Like even in matches, like his name isn't really being called. Like there's not much I see from him at all. So I want to just get your thoughts on Benjamin Sesko. You know, I guess
thank you, Gabriel. He almost got away with this one, but thank you for bringing
beginning 5th of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. The game versus Grimsby was the game where I was like, you should get your goal here. This was like Gyökeres at Leeds, you know, kind of like you gotta. This is a game where I anticipate us having, you know, more of the ball. I anticipate us having creating more chances. So, in result of that, you should be able to, you know, get a few chances. Unfortunately, the game didn't go that way if you watch the Grimsby game. But no, I mean, to be very honest with you, bro, like, I'm not, like, what's concerning about it is that, like, he's not involved in the game. It's not like he's missing a ton of chances. This is not a player who's, like, getting all these chances on a plate and he's not converting them. This is a guy who is completely disconnected from the team. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. My biggest thing is I think that it's hard to get your striker the ball if we're going to be outmanned in midfield every game. And if it's like, whatever, if we're going to get just overloaded in the midfield every game, it's going to be hard for our striker to get the ball at all because we don't even keep the ball. Our midfielders don't even keep the ball. The people who keep the ball the most on our team is our center backs. Side to side, from one center back to the second to the third, and then back to the first. So, I mean, he just got here. We've struggled to score goals for a very long time. So I wouldn't really put that on him. Like I said, it's not like he's missing a ton of chances. I think the setup of the team really has impacted the impact that I thought that he could have, that I still believe that he can have. You know, this is one of the highly touted strikers throughout Europe. I don't all of a sudden think that he's bad. I just think that, you know, you went to a pretty unstable situation where there's really no consistency in a lot of different areas on the field. And it's hard for you as like the focal point of our attack to really find success because we don't even get you the ball. But yeah, I mean, the 007, to be very honest with you, when we signed him, I knew he was going to be on that list. 100%, at least in the Prem. But yeah, I mean, like that Grimsby game, though.
He scored in the Prem, no?
No. Cornelius, he barely has more touches than
him. Barely, yeah, I've barely seen that.
Combined. Like, bro, he doesn't even. But like I said, this isn't like Nicholas Jackson missing a bunch of chances. You know, this is a guy who's, you know, like, remember how we would see, like, Haaland has only touched the ball four times. It's like, well, we're clearly not getting him the ball, or we're clearly not putting him in possession to make an impact. But we've struggled to score goals in a while. So, you know, we said the same thing about Rasmus, and I think that this guy's a better player than Rasmus. I mean, I don't know. Rasmus scored, though. So, yeah. I don't know. You see? Pattern here. But, no, I think it's definitely, you know, it's concerning. And it's concerning because I don't even want to dwell on it. It's concerning because I think that we look better without even him playing.
So do you, how do you think you?
I said that, and I said that this summer in our after we played Everton. I was like, we play better without a striker, bro. This dude's gonna come in here, and we have to all of a sudden feel like we have to give him the ball. We don't even know how to do it. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. How do you think you guys can get the best out of him? How do you guys need to set up to get the best out of him?
I really think, bro, we just need one more midfielder. Whoever that extra, instead of having two tens, drop one more person in the midfield. Like, we look, I would say the strength of our attack, this may sound crazy, is Dorgu and Ahmad, like the wings. I think that, like, we look more threatening there. And Mbeumo too. To be fair, I think Mbeumo has quickly solidified himself as, like, one of the better players, on the best player, in my opinion, on our team. Definitely past Bruno. Like, he's not. Before I would look over to Bruno, I would look at Mbeumo every single time. But I think that if we capitalize off the young guys that we have on the wing, we can get more service into the box. Dorgu looks good. His crosses are not that perfect all the time, but, you know, he gets the job done, and so does Ahmad. And I think that if we just drop that extra 10 in the midfield, then we were able to kind of man up with teams in the midfield, we would get more strike. We'd get more opportunities for our strikers. So every game is going to be like this, bro, because every team is going to overload us. And then I'm not surprised at all by Sesko having 3.5 touches, one of them being the kickoff. Like, it's not the other. Yeah, think about crazy. That, bro. 3.5 touches. One was the kickoff. The other one was the flick over to Mbeumo. And then I think the other one was just a one-time layoff back to Bruno. You weren't even progressing the field. Like, we weren't even going forward. So, no, I don't think that it's a. I think, again, the manager. The manager. How do you spend all this money and then you don't even know how to use this guy? It's just
it's a peculiar situation, because with you guys, it's just it's not that the players are not there. It just seems to not be. It's just not working. It's just not working. Because we could talk about the players, right? So I'm used to say that all the time. But I would say in the last year and a half, you know, your team has changed in some aspect. Like, majority of the guys are not there. You know, the McTominays are gone. The Rashford is gone. Now Garnacho is gone. Ilango's out the door. Sancho's not there. I mean, the guys that you could point fingers at. Right now, the main guy people point fingers at is Bruno. He's the captain. I get it. But it just, bro, I just don't see it, right? I don't see it with Amorim, because the guys that came in, I would think. I mean, has Cunha scored for you guys?
Yeah, no. Yes. The Prem?
Yeah, like, no. He hasn't even scored for you guys. And I feel like Cunha, like,
he was hurt too. He got hurt a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Even beforehand, though, I think Cunha was threatening, you know, like, he just unfortunately got hurt kind of early into the campaign, but.
You're right.
Yeah,
but again, it's moments of him just kind of doing something, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's not from, like, a build up. You're right,
bro. Like, the striker, like, your position, like, your production is so dependent on how so many other things go. And, like, when you look at our team, it's hard to, like, again, if Cunha's not dribbling past four or five people, if Mbeumo's not, you know,
yeah,
whatever, then it's like, yeah, but I mean, Benjamin Sesko is not going to be a guy who gets the ball from Bruno at the halfway line, dribbles seven people, and then scores. Like, he's going to have to – I mean, look at him. He's a big dude. He needs, you know, the opportunities to score and be dangerous in the box. But We got to put him in those positions, and you can't do that if you don't have, you know, people in the right spots.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a win, but we're nitpicking. But we all know still that, you know, next week you got Liverpool, so
yeah, Brentford, no struggle. Brentford, yeah. What? Yeah. Brentford, like lock of the week. Brentford plus one. I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a good that's a good spot to stay on United. We know that they're going to be an up and down team this year. And I feel like until Ruben either solidifies this formation into getting you guys just moving at an elite pace with this formation, it's going to be growing pains, because I feel like, just like you said, you need to drop another guy into midfield, but it doesn't seem like he wants to do that just yet. So it'll be a little tug of war until you guys finally figure out how to best utilize this formation, in my opinion. But, you know, a team that is figuring out how to best utilize their players, whether their starters are coming off the bench and scoring worldies, Arsenal. This was obviously the match of the week, Arsenal versus Manchester City, teams that have been in the top two, top three for these last couple of years. City, a team that last year took a very big dip, even though they finished top four, we would say that they took a very big dip in form. And Arsenal, who seems to just gradually keep getting better and better and better. This was a heavyweight match, man. 1-1 was the final score. I was watching the match here with Gabriel. And also shout out EJ, our resident Manchester City fan here at Cleveland Heights. It was a good match. It was a very, very good match. Very, very touch and go at some points. I think Arsenal did exactly what they had to do as far as just get that point, especially at home. You had the fans behind you, just want to go and just give them something to go home and be positive about moving to the season, because we know that City this year is strong. You know, they kind of re-upped as far as in the positions they needed. And again, I just want to say shout out to their, I don't know how they keep doing this, but they have the best keeper in the world again. And it's going to be tough to score against him. So that's why I want to tip my hat to Gabriel Martinelli, a player who's kind of fallen to the bench with all the new signings that Arsenal's had. But I just want to pass it to Gabriel, because first half, he kind of had his issues with who was on the field and who he thought should be on the field. Second half, we see Eze and Saka come on, and there's a little bit more life in Arsenal. And eventually they got the dub. But Gabriel, your thoughts on the first half and then the second half? I kind of want to see, because it was a tale of, not the dub, the draw, but it was a tale of two halves, in my opinion. So I kind of want to see your take in the first half and then the second half.
I don't want to start with the first and second half. I want to start with the lineup. This game, I have mixed emotions. I don't understand why. Maybe this is again, I'm not in the day to day, but is something wrong with Eze? Like, does he have a knock? Is he injured? Because I know he's fit, because he was playing for Crystal Palace in preseason. So for me, the lineup to start, our back line, completely fine with. Saliba's back, cool. Mascara, you did well. You know, we you're there if we need you. But midfield three, I didn't agree with at all. I didn't understand why we were starting Marino, Rice, and Zubimendi. We don't need all three of them to start. I would much rather us play with a 10, Waniri, or Eze, if he's going to play there. Also, for me, I don't understand the Trossard start. He didn't know where he was until the last 10 minutes of the half. So, of the first half. So, for me, the lineup was off. And I say I have mixed emotions, because as much as I say that, we still held City to the least amount of possession that they've had in a Pep era. We dominated them completely. We had them pinned in for pretty much the entire match. It was honestly just one moment. You can say a great counterattack of City, but then also just us getting a little too exciting and putting too many numbers forward, because I don't know, great counterattack, but this goal was very avoidable. very, very avoidable. And it was early. So, yeah, they're playing away. They don't necessarily need to come out of their shell. And I don't even blame Pep. But, you know, we still held the City team to not really doing too much. We got the point. Gabriel Martinelli, thank you. This is twice now you come off the bench and scored. But this is what we need, though, because for guys to for guys to play better, they need players to take their spot. Like, it puts healthy competition within the squad, and I feel like this is one of those moments. Like, yeah, you weren't playing well, and we all noticed it, but you kept getting these starts. We kept getting frustrated. So we're going to put a guy that maybe we think is better. And now that you're coming off the bench, it's like, nah, I have to prove myself every time. And I wish it didn't take all of this to understand that, but amazing performances by him off the bench. And I think Arteta made the right subs from halftime. You know, he made adjustments. I don't really understand why Nani Madueke came off, because for me, I really want to trust Sar to come off, Madueke to go to that left side, Gyökeres, Saka, and then have Eze in the middle. You know, that's not exactly what happened. I think Nani played well because he was really our only attacking threat in the first half. But yeah, man, honestly, I'm just happy to really get away with the point. You know, we didn't completely fail all three of our tests in the first five matches because, I mean, it's still early. It's the first five matches. We haven't got out on all of our groove yet together. We still haven't integrated new guys within the squad. So in our first five matches, we played United, we played City, and we played Liverpool. We lost, unfortunately, to Liverpool on just a moment of brilliance. We drew City at home today. Good match, way to fight back and get a goal when they were parking the bus, literally. You know, it's a hard to – and they have Donnarumma in goal. So, you know, that's another one. And then, you know, we got the win against United. So, I can't be – too upset, but I am frustrated with the lack of courage to go for it from the jump. For me, as they needed to start this match, we didn't need three D mids starting. We had no creativity in the beginning of the match. It was slow, it was lethargic, and you know, I'm happy to see Saka back. Obviously, as soon as he came on, everything opened up. As soon as he came on, you could see everything open up. But yeah, nah. Yeah, all our guys look good. It's just those decisive moments, man.
Yeah, I don't know how you Arsenal fans, you know, keep watching this week in, week out. And I'm speaking specifically about your manager.
Bro,
I mean, I'm tired of – see, some of these managers – okay, maybe there are things we don't see, right? Like you said, there are things maybe we don't know going on in the background. But some of these things are so obvious – that I feel like, unless there's something going on that we don't know, I feel like it shouldn't be that. I mean, against City, you're benching Eze? Come on, man.
I mean, don't get it.
What is it? Like, what
Trussard,
is it?
If you watch Trussard for the first half, Kanois hurt, bro. He was lost. He wasn't in the match. Anywhere. He was misplacing passes. It wasn't good, and he didn't get into the match until the 35th minute. And honestly, his second half was much better. Truly, it was much better. But
yeah.
for Trussard to play 83 minutes that match is criminal, bro. For me, it's criminal because Madueke was he was our only attacking threat, and I could only imagine what Saka and Madueke would do. I only could imagine, you know. Listen. Like I said, there are positives to go away with against this you know, this match. A lot of positives to walk away with, but it's not enough courage for me, man. Not enough courage. Go for it, because as soon as you went for it, you saw immediately how we started dominating the game even more and even more and even more. And we're at home, so the crowd is behind us, bro. I don't understand the reason to be safe. And like I said, it could be a knock. It could be, you know, something in training he felt. So I don't know. But for me, if he's on the bench, if you're in the sheet, you're ready to play.
Yeah.
And even if he only, you know, got that 45, you see how we have super subs. Like, I would rather start that game with Eze going forward and letting City know, hey, we're here.
Yeah. Why don't you just start that way?
I don't understand the Trussard start, bro. I don't understand the midfield start. We need to change two players that line up.
if you go to the Liverpool game, right, when those guys came on, we saw the difference. Like, it happened too. You just were unlucky. You didn't, you know, get the equalizer. But we see it again against City. And you make this. I don't know, man. Sometimes I don't know. Is this like an attack team? Is it like a mind thing? Like a mind game? It's like,
because he's doing, man. It's not even like he came on like 46. So what? He came on.
He came on at halftime.
I've had him. Yeah.
It's not even like he can clearly play. This was a guy who played, you know, in preseason.
He played 90 minutes, what are we talking about, bro,
showed that, you know. No, I mean, yeah, I mean, we talked about that last week. You know, you guys definitely have the players to kind of really compete with these teams, like toe-to-toe. This isn't 2019, this isn't 2020, this is 2025. This is, you know, Arteta, you have your guys. You know, I would like to kind of see you start, like you guys said, with a little bit more assertiveness. But, you know, I guess this is the – in the grand scheme of things, you know, a point at home against City is, you know, at the end of the season, you know, this is a
– man.
This could be one of those things. But I just wanted to say – well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just wanted to touch quickly on City, though, and just be like – for Arsenal, I feel like this was a good, you know, for you guys to come out in spite of the lineup issues, whatever, to be down 1-0 and to come back and, you know, to defend home turf to get a point, I think was huge. But for City, though, I feel like you would almost look at this as like, this is another missed opportunity. This is another opportunity where we let it slip, and we low key kind of knew like this team in large parts of the game was better than us. And yeah. You know, I mean, obviously they beat us convincingly, so it's hard. You know what I'm saying? But even in that game, I was like, yo, bro, like, if we just weren't so bad, like, you know, we could really compete with the City team. So I'm curious. I know we kind of talk about it, like, you know, week to week, but I don't know, man. Top four, that race for top four seems to, I mean, it changes every week, but I don't know, bro. It could be a challenge for them to finish in the top four this season.
No, I think it'll still shake out, man, how it's supposed to. It'll be tough because this City's team isn't the same. And honestly, this match showed me that the City team knows that they're inferior to us. Like, they're not better than us. I'm sorry, the City is not better than us. Currently in this, what is it, September 21st? City is not better than Arsenal. I'll tell you that right now. So for them to, I mean, essentially park the bus for 45 minutes. And like I said, you know, everyone has their own narrative. Some teams, you know, they will say, oh, this is great defending. You know, they don't need to come out their shell. And so at a certain point, I understand that too. But they understand, you know, the more that they try and press us, we can break down the press, no problem. You know, we can score against this team, no problem. So I don't know. I mean, it shows where we're at. It shows where City's at, I feel like, at least at this stage. And I don't know. I think we'll continue to see. I think we'll continue to see, you know, how things shake out. And I think things will shake out the way they're supposed to.
I agree there. I mean, even last year when City was going through their rut, they still somehow managed to stay within the top five, top six, you know, and ending the year in the top four. So, just, I think getting a point here was huge for them. I know they wanted all three to steal that away from Arsenal at the Emirates, but, you know, that's not how the cookie crumbles. And sometimes you need battles like this early in the season to let you know where you stand. Like I said earlier with Chelsea, it was good to see Bayern this early in the Champions League season to kind of see where we stand. And I feel the same for Pep. Like I was saying earlier this year, this is a whole new season. It's a whole new team. I mean, if you look at their starters, they have 3-4 new starters on that team. They're still learning to gel. You even look at their right back. He got taken off in the second half. So there's still things that I feel like Pep is tinkering with in this City team. And so I don't know if we've seen the full City yet. You know, I don't know if they're going at 100% yet. I think it'll take them maybe 10 matches to find their form, find where they really want to be. But this was a good test for them, for sure. Before we get into our predictions, before we get into shout outs, I do want to touch on the MLS a little bit, just touch on our Ohio teams. Unfortunately, I thought that Columbus Crew was going to get the 3 points this week, but 1-1 to Toronto. So our resident Columbus native, or our resident Columbus resident, I should say. I know Salam getting mad when you say native. Our resident Columbus guy here, Mike, talk about the Crew.
Yeah, man, this last game, I think, came down to I think we missed Diego Rossi, man. I think he's become a big part of this team. He makes, you know, things move. And him not playing, I think, kind of came down, at least for us, I think for us, it kind of made us look a little different. But, you know, I don't know what's going on, man. I know it hasn't been a very healthy season for us, but one win in the last five games, even our win, high-scoring game. What was it, 5-4?
5-4, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, I want to announce this. The Columbus Crew officially has a bagsman. That will be my MLS recap for the week. The Columbus Crew has a bagsman. I mean, I'm excited about this guy. Abu Ali. What's up, Abu Ali, man? Man, it's looking good. But the only thing that is kind of pissing me off is that just when it seems like we found a bagsman, a striker, we have guys going in and out of the lineup. So we haven't really gotten to see, you know, everybody go at it. I mean, we kind of saw it in the 5-4 game, but we just haven't been good defensively, man. I like Moreira a lot, man, but his legs are going. I mean, it just, we can't hold on to wins. And we've usually seen this throughout the season, and then we start picking it back up until the playoffs. But I don't know what's happening this year, man. I don't see it. I don't see us, you know, putting a run together in consistent games to actually make the playoff and, you know, challenge. And it's sad for me to say, because I had a lot of hope. I had a lot of promise. But this Toronto loss was very disappointing, man. It was very disappointing. Because coming from the game before where you scored 5 goals and, you know, even though the other team came back but didn't win the game, but it just seemed like we were going to continue this goal-scoring form and we're going to add more to it. And we couldn't get rid of Toronto? Yeah, it was disappointing. But I think the bright spot for me is the fact that, you know, the striker that we brought in is bagging goals. And as football fans, as soccer fans, we know that if you have a striker that bags goals, you always have a chance. So that's my only hope. We finally seem to have a formidable guy that can actually win us games. But we can't hold on to win. We can't hold on to leads. Defense is just not cutting it.
So with 3 matches left in the regular season, obviously the Supporters Shield is no longer something that you guys can grab this year, but what are the things that you want to see in these last 3 matches heading into the postseason?
Wins. That's it. Give me three games back to back to back. Give me 3 wins in a row. I would love to see something like that to maybe get our confidence back up again, but I just don't see it with, you know, the way we're playing defensively. I just don't see it. I don't know if we're scared. I don't know what it is, but we just can't seem to. We don't have the confidence to defend our leads. That's what I would say. Yeah.
That's a good point. On the flip side, we drive down 71 South, you get to Cincinnati. They ended up getting the 3-2 win over LAFC. Salam, our resident Cincinnati, not native. But
I might be. I might.
Okay. Okay. Might. How you feeling about the boys in orange and blue?
I feel great, man. Shout out to my guys. Didn't disappoint. I stayed up to watch this game, and sure enough, did you not disappoint? The first person I would like to start with is Evander. You know, it's bad.
Well, his eyes light up whenever he says Evander.
Bro, I love this guy, I really do, bro. Sometimes I just think, you could play for United. You could, like, you definitely could. Evander Cunha and Mbeumo, we'll switch you for Bruno. But, man, 3 assists on the night. I mean, what more can I say? You know, with the recaps that we drop every week following the last, you know, match day, game of every match day. I don't want to be like a Cincinnati stan all the time, but it's hard. 29 matches, 29 goals and assists. I mean, what is it? If you were a paying ticket fan, you know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, watching him live was crazy. It's crazy. He really is that good. I've seen it with my own 2 eyes.
And like this guy was like he was lighting it up for Portland. I think he's the first or second fastest to reach. I think like I want to say 60 or 70 goal contributions in his first 2 years in the MLS. Or 3 years in the MLS, but I thought the game was great. Obviously, you know, we've followed the Galaxy this year. They've had a up and down season, definitely a rough start to the season, but you know, started to kind of string together some results in the recent weeks and months. But I think just like a lot of teams are, we have a lot of players out with injury, and I was really happy with what I saw from, you know, the guys that we brought in the last window. Echeverry, Brenner's back now, he's scoring, and he looks like, I mean, we kind of know what we're going to get from him. I think that he's going to get his goals, but, you know, we're going to have to sit through the chances that he misses, but it's okay. He contributes as a goal scorer and a provider, man. And, you know, one of my shout outs was going to be this guy. I'll say it now. We can talk about Evander. We can talk about Denki, all these guys, Kai Kamara, all these guys that have come into this locker room this year. But if you're in Cincinnati, you know how impactful Pavel Buka is for us. Center midfielder has been so consistent. Obina's been out all year. Shout out to Brian Uninga, done a fantastic job all season. But this guy has been steady every game. And has been a big part of our season. And hopefully, I don't know what his contract situation looks like, but hopefully he's here long-term. But, you know, when we look back at the signs of the seasons, obviously, you know, nothing's going to top Evander or Denki. But Pavel Buka, man, you talk about consistency. Week in, week out, I know what I'm going to get from you. I love him as a player, man. And, yeah, like I said, Philadelphia got their win this past weekend as well, too. So, you know, they're still top of the Eastern Conference. But I think we're definitely in the mix for the Supporters Shield. I think it's between us, Philly, and Vancouver. I think those three teams, we have a solid shot, obviously, just based off of where we're at with standings. But firmly the best team in Ohio. Arguably the best teams in the East, man. I'm loving how, you know, this end of the season is shaping up. Obina's coming back. Kubo just got back on the bench too. And Kubo, I mean, bro, we're gonna be just fine.
Yeah. I mean, but it's kind of funny how, you know, we're sliding down the table and you guys are I mean, we're 102 games away from not making the playoffs if we don't win. So I don't know, man. So this has been a disappointing season.
I'll ask you the same thing. Last 3 matches of the regular season, what do you want to see from your boys?
Oh, health. I just want to see my guys come back on the bench. I think, obviously, we got the 3 points over the weekend, but one of the biggest takeaways for me was seeing Kubo back on the bench. So that's another guy that's going to help us. Let me see Obina back on the bench. I don't know how far Miazga is going to be out for, but, you know, come playoff time, we're going to need Miazga. We're going to need his experience. So I just need to see health, man. Let me see my guys. You know what I'm saying? I would love to see Denki kind of hit a few goals before the playoff starts. Just I think it's important for him to see the ball go in the back of the net. He's been kind of cold lately. But as long as Yeah. As long as I got Evander, I got a chance.
Fair enough. That's a good way to wrap that up. G, how do we do on locks?
Hey, man. 4-0 on locks, boys.
Great. Hey, let's go.
Picks. Great picks. Mike, goal and assist for Kudus.
Yeah.
Ballsy call, but hey.
I was worried for a second.
Yeah, but no. Everyone hit this week. Parlay with a smack. Clean sheet, man. Clean sweep.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Shout outs.
First shout out goes to NWSL. Shout out to the Kansas City Current. They just won the NWSL Shield, which means that they won the regular season with 5 matches to spare, actually, which is kind of quite a gap if you think about it. 5 matches, that's 15 points, bro. That's a lot. Shout out to the Kansas City Current. Second shout out Gabriel Martinelli, man. way to fight back. Honestly, truly. A lot's been said about you over honestly. on Gabriel Martinelli for quite some time. All summer people were teetering with the idea of selling him. I ended up not selling him. He's been fighting for a spot and hasn't really been in the squad too much and been getting rotated as of late, but scored 2 important goals for us recently. So shout out to him for sure. And lastly, shout out to Brad Stuver. Another great performance. Man of the match performance by him. 2-1 Austin FC. I think they're in 8th place right now, 7th or 8th place. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they do well in the playoffs too. So.
Yeah, my shout out of the week goes to the USL team, Lexington. They've been on a crazy run, if anybody's been paying attention. Only 2 losses in their last 10 games. And Forrester Ajago can't stop scoring. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's been following us know that Forrester and Adetokun are our guys. And I'm happy to see them, actually kind of making a name for themselves in the USL. The playoffs is coming up. I hope these guys, go out there and, do the thing. But I wanted to shout him out. He's on a crazy run right now. And I'm happy for our guy.
Thanks. Shout him out.
Yeah, my shout out is going to go to Ansu Fati. The great comeback story. Had a midweek Champions League goal. And then I think, midweek Champions League goal, and then added on that by a brace today. So Monaco put up 5 today in their win. So shout out to him. Happy to see, him smiling, him playing. This was a guy who was, labeled as a lot of different things. Someone who was very unlucky with injuries, but I'm happy to see him back on the pitch, man. And, showing that, a lot of the stuff that people had said in terms of his potential is true. This is a good player. So shout out to him.
Solid, man. I have a few shout outs. So first and foremost, y'all see me out here in my Cleveland threads. Shout out Cleveland Sports. Browns get their first win against the Green Bay Packers this Sunday. And as you can see, I got the Cleveland emblems on my head as well. The Guardians are well on their way into making their ways into the playoffs. They have a few series left, a few matches left. So just want to say shout out to my Cleveland teams. In the Prem, I wanted to shout out Crystal Palace, man. This team is undefeated in their last 10 Premier League matches. This past weekend, a 2-1 win over West Ham. Mateta keeps scoring, man. He's a baller, bro. He is a straight baller, and I'm just happy for this Crystal Palace team. Obviously, no longer have Eze, but they just seem to just keep trucking along, kind of just staying out of the radar. But like I said, undefeated in their last 10 Premier League matches, so huge for them. And then my last shout-out is going to be Nico Paz. I'm going to keep talking about him, man. Argentinian, plays for Como over in Serie A. He had 2 assists this past weekend, giving them a 2-1 win. His second assist was actually in like the 93rd or 94th minute. big smash and grab win that they got this past weekend. Fabregas has that team over there rolling. I believe they're either eighth or ninth in Serie A right now. But like I said from the beginning, this Como team, I'm going to be keeping tabs on them just because of what Fabregas was able to do last year and just half a year, able to bring that team from relegation all the way back into mid-table. And now, you know, they're rolling again this year. This Nico Paz kid, 21, from Argentina. He was one of those wonder kids that's been on a lot of lists these last couple of years, but now he's finally emerging as one of those players. Very, very good attacking player, very creative. As I said, 2 assists on the weekend in their 2-1 win. So shout out, Nico.
I did have one more, man. I had to recognize this team. Shout out to Sunderland. 1-1 versus Aston Villa today. Aston Villa was a man down. And, you know, sure enough, they were up 1-0. And then they gave up the lead, the point. So, yeah, that point keeps Sunderland in tied for sixth place with Chelsea and Fulham. So, yeah, man, shout out to them. I definitely thought after I saw that red card that they would definitely, you know, give up the 3 points. But Aston Villa, man, on the flip side, shout out to you guys. You guys deserve recognition as well, too. You know, one of the top teams of the Premier League the past few seasons, and here you are in 18th place. Well, how big of a disappointment would you say, if I know it's early, but it's, you know, only match day 5, but how big of a disappointment would it be if they got relegated?
That would be crazy. Yeah, that'd be insane, actually.
That would honestly be
that's gonna happen. They've invested too much money, bro. Much money to get relegated, bro. Morgan Rogers fire sale, Mings fire sale,
Ollie Walker,
Tielemans fire sale,
Martinez
fire. Like, it would be bad. Unai Emery too.
Yeah, bro, it would have been an indictment on Emery more so for me.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't think this team could afford to get relegated, and I don't think they will. The team I think will truly get relegated is Wolves.
Yeah, they're about to go. Yeah,
I think this. Yeah. I think this is their time. They've escaped. Yeah. They escaped death a few times. times they've escaped. Mm-hmm. Bro. A big part of that as well. A few times they've escaped death.
Mm-hmm.
This time, I think it's coming. Yeah.
No more Cunha.
Yeah, I don't think they have a savior. I don't know when they're going to win in the Prem next. Because they play Spurs at home, or they play Spurs away, 27th. They play Brighton at home. I don't know if you beat Brighton. You play Sunderland away, October 18th. Maybe Burnley on the 26th. Like, I don't know, bro. I really don't.
Burnley's not even an easy win, too.
Yeah,
no easy wins in the Prem anymore.
Yeah.
For me, Villa, I feel like they have the quality to get wins. They've just been playing poorly.
I only ask because I mean they're the lowest three teams in the league, but they're also the three teams that I'm like, out of the five match days, I'm like, you guys are the worst teams. I think West Ham, Wolves, you guys are 1-2. But bro, Aston Villa, bro, like, I don't know. I mean, Burnley Burnley could be here, Leeds could be here, but definitely one of the this is the LA Galaxy start that the LA Galaxy had to start this MLS season, to say the least.
Predictions. Who y'all playing next week? I'll start off. We Chelsea sees Brighton. This is a trap game.
Big trap game, man.
Brighton has had our number in the past few years as well. So I want to say this will be like a 2-1, but I could easily see it being a 2-2.
You're not wrong, man. You're not wrong. I would hope to see a win against Brighton. You know, Minte is looking crazy these days.
what I tell y'all, man. In our summer episode, I said that's a young player to watch out for.
Bro, even Ayari, they keep spawning these guys, bro. Brighton just keeps spawning these guys. But I'm still confident we're a good enough team. If Palmer is still out, yeah, it could easily be a 2-2 game or even a 1-1 or 2-0 game. Yeah. If Palmer's out, I don't see us really like coming out with a proper result, but I'm going to go 1-0, Chelsea.
United sees Brentford. First game of the match day, 7:30 a.m. Saturday. I'll see you there. but away from home, like I said earlier, man. You would think that the win versus Chelsea would be a confidence booster, which it is definitely, definitely a morale booster for the manager, for all the players. But at the end of the day, bro, I still see us struggling with a lot of these teams in the league because of the way that we're set up. So unless that changes, I don't know what's going to change. Our team is crying out for midfielders. We have one, and his name is Kobbie Mainoo. Very talented player. If someone at the club is hearing this, can you please connect him to the manager, because he needs to play. I think this is going to be a tough one for us. I'm actually going to go a draw. I see a draw here if they don't get the points.
Okay. So we see Port Vale in the Carabao Cup on Tuesday or Wednesday, away from home. So first, I think we're going to beat them. I just want to see, I want to see like Max Dalman get a start. I want to see
Eze. Please get a start.
No, I don't even want to see Eze against Port Vale. I don't even need him. Maybe like 20 minutes, but I want to see some guys who haven't been getting time. Martinelli, get a start. Trossard, get a start. Mosquera, give Saligo a rest. But yeah, I think we'll get a dub there. And then we play. Oh, shoot. I forgot already. Sorry. And then we play Newcastle over the weekend away from home. That is also, it sounds like a trap game, if I'm being honest. They're not as strong as they used to be without Isak. So I think we should get a result there. I think we should get points. I think we'll get a win. Bare minimum, we'll get a result. We'll get, a draw. But it's been tough for us going to Newcastle, going to St. James Park the past couple of years, man. We haven't won there. We haven't won there in quite some time. So, it's a little bit of a trap game. But I think our team is good enough to, I want to see Eze, start that match. I think we'll be fine. But it does sound like a trap game. Just like a trap.
Yeah, I forgot that we saw Lincoln midweek as well in the Carabao. Just get a dub there, honestly. Just get a win.
Shout out to Lincoln. all right. Well, good stuff, guys. Trying to think. A lot of football coming at you guys. So, be on the lookout. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. As always, we appreciate your guys' continued support. And thank you for joining us on the Kickback FC.